Hey, Dreamers, my first book, Joe Pardo's 31 Life-Changing Concepts, just came out. It's a self-development book designed for people who hate reading books. I filled it with lots of my own hand-drawn artwork. In order to make this launch a success, I need your help. Please go to howtodream.co/book. Thank you for all your support, and I hope you have a magical day.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I am talking with Kathleen Kelly, who is making her dreams come true by being a special needs advocate. Glad to have you on the show, Kathleen.
Hey Joe, nice to have you.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
It happens to the best of us podcasters.
Do over, I know.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm on the other side usually. Sorry.
It's all right. We can leave it in there. It's fun. Kathy, you run a website called specialmouse.com, right?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you let everyone know what specialmouse.com is all about?
Sure. Well, Special Mouse is an unofficial Disney travel blog and podcast, and it is geared especially toward guests with special needs of all kinds, additional challenges, whether they be special health challenges or difference in accessibility, you know, mobility issues, or any kind of health issue, disability, special need of any kind, whether visible or invisible, and focusing on Disney parks and travel, which would be the cruise line, Adventures by Disney, and especially the Disney parks.
Well, as everyone knows, I absolutely love Disney and supporting anything that is based around Disney, as well as advocating for people who aren't able to necessarily advocate for themselves. So I love what you're trying to do. And part of the reason I wanted to have you on today was to talk about an awesome Kickstarter for your first book.
Yes, it is my first book.
All related around special needs and Disney World, right?
Yes, yes. It's called Walt Disney World with Autism, A Special Needs Guide. And it's the first ever travel guide, Disney travel guide, unofficial, for families who have autism. And I'm very excited about it.
Well, you know, so I seen this, and I see that you're, as of right now, when we're recording, about 2 days before this episode comes out, you're just shy of halfway to being at your goal, which is $9,000.
Yes. I'm getting a little bit nervous, but I'm counting on my my Disney community and my autism community to really help support the whole idea of the project, which is to give families who are traveling to Walt Disney World, this book is especially for Walt Disney World, to give them not just information, but to give them encouragement, to give them support, to give them the empowerment, really, to take on such a vacation, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you have a child on the autism spectrum, there's so many issues that make it difficult to maintain travel as a family. And of course, Walt Disney World being the number one family vacation. And with autism being now, the statistics are staggering. It's one out of every 68 children in our country, in the United States, is somewhere on the autism spectrum. So there are a lot of families who are traveling with someone on the autism spectrum, no matter what their age. I'm pretty much focusing this book on parents, but of course we're talking about young children, teens, young adults, who are going to be just experiencing the park in a different way, but can still access all of the magic that Walt Disney World has to give.
Now, before the show, you were telling me that you also try to have a focus, especially even your podcast, about other travel needs other than just autistic needs or other special needs, but like, you know, how to do the park when you're pregnant or nursing.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, Special Mouse, and it's funny you say that because I oftentimes hear people discussing the Special Mouse podcast and blog, and they say, oh yes, Kathy has that. She has that Disney podcast where she helps, you know, kids with special needs go to see Mickey. And that's real nice, but that's only real, that's just a small part of the story. Yes, I'm the mother of someone who's on the autism spectrum, but my son is 17 now. We've been going to Walt Disney World since he was 5, regularly. So I've had a long timeline of going to Walt Disney World as the mother of someone on the autism spectrum. But the podcast is not just discussing autism. It's really all kinds of special needs because I love Disney podcasts. I love listening to them. I love taking them on the go. And there are so many, and there's podcasts that talk about Disney history and about Disney travel and the parks and, you know, and it's real fun to get into, oh, the top 10 things, the snacks that you can get at the Magic Kingdom and, ooh, who's going to be number one, the Mickey bar or the Dole Whip. And that's lots of fun. But, you know, a lot of those podcasts I had noticed were kind of completely ignoring and glossing over this really, really large population of people that love going to the Disney parks and taking Disney cruises. And these are people with special needs and disabilities. And being that I was intimately familiar, and I love talking about Disney, you can't shut me up once I get started, you know, who better to start a podcast that is addressing the needs of this underserved population? I've been a registered nurse for 30 years, so even though I may not have the same experience of someone who has to tour the parks in a wheelchair, I'm very, very familiar with the whole mechanics of it and, you know, having experience with people who have different abilities physically and cognitively. But also things like just chronic health conditions like insulin-dependent diabetes. You know, we talk about that, you know, whether it has to do with, you know, the medications or the diet. We talk a lot about special diets and food allergies. Huge, huge topic. But, you know, I just think of it as a place where people can get this specialized set of information and support. You know, nothing better than listening to another traveler who's done the same thing. They've gone to Walt Disney World and they've been managing the same challenges that you face. I think it gives people encouragement and it gives them a sense of, hey, I can do this. This isn't going to be so hard. And I love that.
You know, you seem like the perfect person to give that kind of advice. I mean, with the whole background of being a nurse and having your son and being, you know, so passionate about Disney in the first place.
Yeah, it's a good fit.
I mean, look, I could kind of understand why some or a lot of podcasters would want to gloss over something like that. And maybe because they don't know, right? They don't necessarily have a child that has, you know, has this in their life. So, you know, to not try to offend or not try to promote themselves as an, you know, oh, well, you had that episode, so you must be an expert about, you know, this. And it's like, well, you know, none of us have those, have kids with these issues or needs. So, you know, how do you handle, like, I could see why they might want to shy away from it.
Well, it's not a sexy topic. I mean, really, Joe, what other podcast out there is going to talk about going to Walt Disney World with a colostomy? Not many podcasts.
I don't even know what that means.
But Special Mouse will talk about it, you know. So I found my niche. These are my people, and I like talking about it. And you know, talk about being an expert. I don't consider myself an expert, even though I'm a nurse, even though I'm the mother of a special needs child. What I have done is I've surrounded myself with so many people who have so many different challenges, and yet they're still doing what they want to do. They're not staying home. They're getting out there. They're going to the Disney parks. So I created the podcast for those people, for people who need a little bit of extra information and support and encouragement and really community to help them continue to do what they want to do.
So did you already have a background in website design, blogging, podcasting, audio editing?
No, not at all. I did blog for a short time, but that was localized to just Disney and autism. When I went to Blog World New Media Expo, this is when they were still connected. It was the summer of 2012. They happened to have it in New York City, and I'm just over the river here in New Jersey. And Lou Mangiello, he's a previous guest on your show, and one of my favorite Disney podcasters. He's hosted the WDW radio show for many, many years, and I'm a huge member of his community. You know, I love what he does. I love his whole community. And he was speaking, but he was speaking in the podcasting track. So I decided to jump the ferry and go over there so I could get a little bit of encouragement, some tips, learn some new things from my blog, and also so that I can meet Lou Mangiello and listen to him speak. Well, I became so fascinated with the whole podcast thing that by the end of the 2 days, I had pretty much decided to quit the blog and start a podcast. So did that it was August of 2012 when I started Special Mouse, and I just do it with a laptop and a microphone. That's pretty much all that I do.
But you know, sometimes it's not so much about the equipment that you use, but the message that you can spread and the impact you can make on people's lives. It's the most important thing in my eyes.
I agree, definitely. Says the woman who can't edit her own audio. and also when you're a one person podcaster, you know, you wear many hats, you know. So I think it's perfectly okay if you don't have someone else to delegate the tasks that you're not great at. You know, it's perfectly fine to get some help in the areas that you need. And I'd much rather spend the time focusing on my community, because that's really where it's at.
I'd agree. I wish I had more time to focus on my my little community with so many different things going on. It's tough. And doing a show 3 days a week where I do edit, and I edit too much of a perfectionist.
No, my attitude toward editing is, you know, come as you are. And which kind of feeds into our whole concept of acceptance. And, you know, the tagline for Special Mouse is the magic is for everyone. And I really, really believe that. And no matter who you are, no matter what your challenges, and look, some of us have a lot more on our plate than others, a lot more to deal with. But if your desire and your goal is to experience, you know, a magical Disney vacation, especially if you are the parent of a child and you want to give that experience to them, then I want to do as much as I can to help you to do that thing. So it's I just kind of fell into my little niche. That's what I love to do.
So how did your family take this idea of you starting up your own blog and podcast and talking to people from all over about special needs and Disney World?
Oh, it's fine. I would say my husband tolerates it, you know. but it's really more of a serious hobby for me. I'm not a travel agent. I don't make any money off of this. It's not a business. Although who knows, with what the future will hold. You know, with my son is 17 now. He's quite disabled because of the symptoms and the behaviors related to his autism. So he'll probably be with us. He'll probably be living with us through his adult years. And so, you know, maybe at one point in the future, you know, I may want to give up the nursing career and stay at home. So so that is on the horizon perhaps, but you know, there's no immediate plans right now. I thought I would just focus on the book, really. To start and then see how it goes from there. I've already had requests. The book isn't even published yet. I've already had requests saying, hey, what about other disabilities? You know, autism isn't the only one. And And I say, yeah, I know. Have you listened to my podcast? I I talk with everybody, you know, whether they have wheelchairs or whether they are adults or children or what have you. But yeah, so there's endless material there for books and whatever people would like to have, whatever will help people to access the parks. And the cruise ship, I could do something with the cruise line. I mean, there's a lot to be done. There's a lot to be done. So one step at a time. But yeah, my family is fine with it. And my husband, though, and it annoys me because he insists upon telling everyone that he is responsible for my Disney mania. You know, that if it wasn't for him, that I would never have gone to the Disney parks. But so I let him. I let him have that. You know, I'll let him be the impetus for it all. So.
Kathy, what's been the biggest roadblock you've hit with having a podcast, a blog, and a community?
Oh, well, I think for the most part, it's just time, you know, trying to work it into everything else, you know, have the family and the job and the house and the everything else, you know, just like everybody else does. And podcasting is a little time consuming, and maintaining the blog, and I wish I had more time to spend with the community. I most often connect with them on Facebook. I have a private discussion group on Facebook. And the reason that I made it private is so that people could feel comfortable sharing details that perhaps they might not want to share out on their public page about their particular challenges. It just adds that extra level of privacy and security, and it keeps the trolls out. Which, unfortunately, you know, when you're talking about doing anything online, there's always going to be haters and trolls. So so this is just one extra level. I'm fiercely protective of people in my group. And it's almost like you have to be vetted. You have to be invited to by either me or by one of the community members to come into this group because it is rather sensitive. So so I try to take care of my people. As best I can. So yeah, going back to the original story, I guess time, you know, just trying to find the time to fit it all in.
Yeah, I mean, time is one thing you can't get more of, so I wish somebody would come up with a way to get more time. It would be amazing. Time and effort, right? If you had more time and more energy to put more effort into more things, would be, man, they'd be billion trillionaires.
Yeah, but they say the busiest people are the ones that get the most things done, and it's probably true.
I you know what, coming from what I do, in my angle, I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Kathy, what was your childhood dream growing up?
Well, I wanted to be a nurse from the time I was a little girl, really. So I've accomplished that dream, but I also wanted to be Peggy Fleming. So I wanted to ice skate too. So, but it was one of those situations, coming from a big family. I was the oldest of six children, and we didn't really have the money or the wherewithal for the level of ice skating lessons and instructions, you know, that professional skaters do. So my mother said, "Okay, well, just be a nurse who ice skates," and I said, "Cool, that's what I'll do." But so the ice skating sort of fell off, but the nursing has stayed. So I really and I always wanted to get married. I always saw myself as having two children, a boy and a girl, and I did. So really, I've done everything. I guess I am living the dream. Before we started recording, I said, I don't know if I'm really living the dream, you know, but I guess I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me. You know, not every dream has to be overly complex. And if you get to go ice skating once a year, I mean, that fits in, you know? Kathy, what do your dreams for the future look like?
Well, you know, as a mother, a lot of my dreams are wrapped up in my children, really, I think. So I have dreams for both of my children, my daughter, who does not have any disabilities. You know, right now she's attending college, so I want to support her and make sure that she gets the education that she needs, the training, so that she can pursue her dream, which is, you know, she's going into education. And then for my son, my dreams for him are, of course, a little bit altered. When you have a child with autism, particularly the kind that Billy has, which was, they call it classic regressive autism. He was born and as a normal, healthy child, pretty much did not exhibit any unusual symptoms until he was about a year old. So it's particularly cruel to go along thinking that everything is great and your child is healthy and you're just rolling along with your normal expectations, your normal dreams, and then something happens and you find out that your path is going to be significantly different and that your child's path is going to be completely different from the one that you thought of. But that's life. You know, life turns on a dime and you need to be able to pivot and just turn with it. So my dreams really for him are that he be happy and that he be that he feel fulfilled. It's kind of frightening because he will always be dependent. He's not going to go and get married and have a family and have a job and do all of those things that we kind of all take for granted. So his future is going to be somewhat different, and I'm really just there to make sure that he has the best chance that he can for happiness. So in keeping with that, you know, there is no going there's not going to be any empty nest. You know, it changes my personal dreams and my personal ideas. At one point, I thought I would love to move down to Florida to be close to Walt Disney World. I loved it. I thought about, oh, you know, they're very good there about hiring people with special needs, maybe not on stage, but in some of their offstage roles. And I thought, oh, perhaps Billy could get a little job there somehow. But unfortunately, Florida, their services and their resources for adults with special needs like autism is very, very poor. Nothing like it is here in New Jersey. There's a lot more opportunity for him. There's a lot more resources for him to be fulfilled and to keep his skill level high. Because there's unfortunately when children with autism, they age out of the school system where they get most of their therapies and they get most of their supports. There's a dramatic change in terms of what's available to them after the age of 21. And it can affect them in terms of their functionality, in terms of their communication, in terms of their socialization and their abilities. And so I don't want to see that. We've worked too hard to get him to the level where he is now, which isn't really that high. I mean, he goes to a special school. He's not in a typical school because the level of his disability is such that he can't. But he goes to a wonderful, wonderful school here in New Jersey. But I have to think about what is available for him. So that dream of, you know, going down to Walt Disney World area and living there and perhaps working there, you know, after retirement, that had to be shelved, at least for now, just because I really have to think about my son. But then again, you know, not sure. I mean, I'm in my early 50s, as is my husband. So, you know, retirement will be coming up probably faster than we want. And again, things change. So maybe we will end up being snowbirds. Maybe we'll spend part of the time up here. In New Jersey, where most of my family is, you know, don't want to move too far away from them, and maybe be able to spend part of the time down close to the place where we love, down by Walt Disney World. So, always open for that, and that's pretty much my personal dreams for the future. Now, my dreams for the future of the whole autism community is, you know, I really would like to see a little bit more togetherness. Right now, there's a lot of discrepancy within the community, a lot of fighting, different views, and it's sad. It's sad because autism being a spectrum disorder, I always try to describe it. And in fact, that's a big part of the book, is I describe autism spectrum disorder like a buffet, a salad bar. Think about going up to the salad bar. And you could have a group of people sitting around the table, and everyone goes up to the salad bar, and they come back to the table, and you look around, and everyone's plate looks different. Because some people choose different items, some people choose a lot of some item or none of the other item, or they heap it up. Some people come back with two or three plates, and others come back with just a tiny little plate, you know, depending upon their appetite or their desires. So you look around the table, and yeah, you all went to the same buffet. You all went to the same choice, you know, and that's what the spectrum is. That's what the autism spectrum is. It's this great big buffet of symptoms and behaviors and challenges and coexisting conditions like seizures or celiac, you know, stomach problems and digestive problems and such. But not all people with autism are the same. So it's extremely diverse. There's a diversity within the diversity. So the community itself can be quite, divided into different sections. And I don't really like that. My dream for the autism community would be that there was more togetherness and that we keep the focus on the people with the autism, to let them be self-determining if possible. But then for those who are not able to be self-determining, you know, like my son, to give the parents enough of a support so that they can advocate for their child. So self-advocacy mixed with, you know, advocacy for your loved one as well. So that's the greater dream that I have. Now, how does Special Mouse fit into that? You think, well, gee, Kathy, you know, there's so many other issues in autism, like education and housing and employment and all of these really, really big things. You know, Disney seems kind of, you know, first world problems, but really not. And I'll tell you why. Because things like travel, you know, and experience and social life and fun and play, they're just as much a part of a person's life as is education or employment. And it's just as necessary. You know, all work and no play, we know this, the story, right? You know, it's not good. You have to be a complete person by having these other elements as well. So by continuing to support people, not just with autism, but with other special needs and disabilities, you know, I feel that, you know, to give them the opportunity to do these things, these normal everyday things that other people take for granted, you know, like taking a vacation with the family, not staying home with a caregiver while the rest of the family goes, or even worse, to have the whole family decide, oh, we just can't, we can't take Joey with us because he's not going to be able to tolerate the parks. Oh, well, sorry, Susie. Sorry, Tommy. Your brother has this autism, so we're not going to be able to go to Walt Disney World. I mean, think about what that does to the family dynamic. You know, it builds resentment and it builds, a lot of negativity. I think to be able to encourage a family to continue to make those memories and do these things together, you know, whether it be Walt Disney World or whether it be, you know, the beach or the mountains or whatever you like to do, it's so important. It's so important for the family, the health of the family, really.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up in that type of situation, but I could totally see it being a bummer for the other child or children that, you know, were limited because of that. And I think that, you know, it is more than just a first world problem, because it's also, you know, the same aspects of talking about how the travel to Disney World could apply to a lot of other places, especially if a family is. If they've lived their life mostly as shut-ins because of the situation, you know, I could totally see that. And I think that if they opened up their minds to your show and to the message and to everything that you're providing, I think that it could help a lot of them out. I know it would probably help me out a lot if I was in that situation.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Kathy, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we plug your websites and how people can connect with you?
Well, I guess like I always say, I always end up every show saying, that, please remember that the magic is for everyone. I'm speaking now not to the people that would normally be my audience, but to people like yourself who perhaps have never stopped to think that, these other people that are asking for accommodation, at the parks, they're just trying to get over. They're just trying to use their disability to get, to the front of the line and all that. There's a little bit of pushback, I think, from not everyone, of course, not everyone, but for many people in the non special needs or the non-disabled community. And some of that is just because of unawareness. They're just not aware. They're just not sensitive to the issue. But to try to remember that, it's not just a place for the able. It's not just a place for the typical. Everyone really does have the basic right to go and access things and places like Walt Disney World or Disneyland or the Disney Cruise. And I think the vast majority of people will say, "Oh, sure, that's a great idea. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, sure. Special needs, disabled, yeah, for sure, all for that." Oh, wait, wait a minute, wait. How come you're getting in line before me? Oh, wait a minute. Now it's different. Or we've all been there at the bus stop at the end of the day, and the line is long, and the people are hot and tired, and the buses, we're waiting for the buses to take us back to the resort, and along comes the family with a couple of people in the ECVs, and you can hear it ripple and crackle through the waiting crowd, the negativity and the smirks and the remarks under their breath, and sometimes not under their breath, about, "Oh, look, these people are so fat, they can't walk around the park." Really a lot of negativity out there. And it's sad. It's sad. It upsets me. It angers me. It breaks my heart, really, because you don't know why that person is on the scooter. And maybe they are overweight, but there could be a heck of a lot others. I'm a nurse. I look at people, and I guess in my brain I can calculate things that other people can't, because like I take a look at their knees and I go, "Oh yeah, look at all that inflammation and redness. This person has, they probably have rheumatoid arthritis in their knees, and the reason why they're kind of heavy is because they can't really exercise a lot, and it's one thing leads to another, and I'm not saying that there aren't people that try to, get an unfair advantage, because unfortunately there are. But I really do think that the vast number of people out there that you see who are on a scooter or a wheelchair or who are using the Disney the DAS card, to get some accommodation, they really do need some help. They need a little bit of help in order to access the same magic that you do. So if I was to leave the non disabled community with just one thought, is to just to keep an open mind and to have a little bit of compassion that for the person who's on that scooter or the family who's pushing that child in what looks like it's a stroller, but it's really not. It's really a wheelchair because this child has multiple invisible disabilities that you may not be really able to see, but they exist. And they affect this family so very deeply. And even things like getting up in the morning and getting bathed and getting dressed and getting out the door can be so much more of an ordeal than for those of us that just hop in the shower and hop out and whoop, off we go, grab your bag and you're off to the park. So to just try to, the next time, you're tempted to grumble about, someone having to maybe get in what you think is before you, or that you have to wait while the bus, lowers the ramp, and you want to just get going. Come on, let's just get going. Why are we waiting for these people in the wheelchair? Just try to think like, hey, kudos to them for getting out and maintaining a part of life. When I see that grandpa zipping on the scooter and the kids are hanging all over, the grandkids and maybe the great grandkids, I don't think, "Oh shoot, now we're gonna have to wait while they load this scooter and now I gotta get, oh, I wanna get back to my resort." I think, "All right, grandpa, you're out there and you're with your family and you're not just staying at home and watching the TV and just vegetating and keeping yourself out of the game. You know, these people are staying in the game. And for that, we should respect them and we should try to support them. So the magic is for everyone. That's how I'll end.
Oh, I think that's awesome. And I try to keep an open mind when stuff like that too. But I will say two things. One, I don't wait in long lines. So I could care less if somebody's getting in front of me. It's all doesn't matter because I'm not going to wait in the super long line anyway. And number two, I think that a large part of that, the groaning could go away. I mean, they've already started to do it with faster loading of the ECVs, you know, having the bus dip down the airbags to the side and then the ramp just flips over rather than, okay, we got to get this elevator and it's got to like unfold and come down and go up and, you know, making like a bigger to do out of it than just like, hey, the bus is on its side and we're just going to get you in and out. And, you know, if they can make another couple of more advancements with the loading of the ECVs, maybe like a standard, there you go, a standardized way of locking them in place.
Oh, absolutely. There's many, many things that that Disney and other businesses and other entertainment venues can do to make themselves more accessible, because there's a lot more out there. Think about it, Joe. Think about Disneyland. All right. You just said you were out in Disneyland recently.
Yes.
Disneyland is a much older park. And because of that, a lot of their attractions, the lines, the queues, are not accessible to wheelchair. Why? Because think about it. You know, a lot of those attractions were built in the 50s and 60s. Think of how times have changed. You know, back then, people who were not able to walk, or children who had things like autism where they were sensory defensive or sensory seeking or unable to tolerate a crowd and they would have these strange behaviors and meltdowns, all of these people, they just stayed at home. They stayed at home, you know. Or going back to our grandparents' time, these people were warehoused. They were warehoused in nursing homes, warehoused in mental institutions. So we're progressing. Society is progressing and our ideas are progressing about what is a good quality of life for a person who has a disability, whether it's physical or mental. And I think that entertainment venues, vacation venues like the Disney theme parks and the Disney Cruise Line, they're making some progress. I think they could make a little bit more and they could hurry up about it, because come on, our money is just as good as the next person's money. We're paying the same amount for our park admission that the non-disabled person is. So, it's kind of a good business move also. You know, it has nothing to do with social awareness or social consciousness. I think even Disney should realize that it's a good business move to make things accessible for people with disabilities. So come on, Disney, let's go.
Well, you know, they just released that new Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and it's not meant for people like me. It's 6'3". It's tough to get in and out of.
Joe, did they make it for the dwarves only? You know, maybe.
I think so. I think
come
somebody
on,
wasn't paying attention. Someone did. You know, my expression is someone didn't show up for work that day. When they were designing that, they were sick and it just got passed through without any kind of question of like, oh, you know, the average American is bigger. I mean, both
but,
wider
you know,
and taller.
Here you go. The great thing about Disney is Disney loves their surveys and they love the customer feedback. So there is a venue, there is a way that we can, if we all just communicate to the Disney company through emails or through letters, snail mail, or through calls, or through, you know, if we let those things be known, they are going to change and adapt. You know, I'm quite sure that if enough people got together and said, we want the mine train bigger, they would eventually develop, you know, a train with larger cars. Just like, you know, we want an extra track on Toy Story Midway Mania. You know, well, they're going to be building an extra track for Toy Story Midway Mania because it's something that people want, you know. So, but Disney isn't going to know about it until you express it. And that has to do with everything from attractions to accessibility and to things like the new FastPass Plus reservation system. Let them know. Let them know. They actively seek and listen to what their customers are saying. And that is where you have a small measure of control, by letting your voice be heard. And I really strongly believe in that.
I would agree. They definitely take their surveys very seriously. So Kathy, I would love for you to plug your website and your podcast, and even more importantly than that, right now in the moment, your Kickstarter that I'm hoping gets funded, because I'd like to donate $40 to your Kickstarter.
Great. Oh, that's an excellent way to pre-order the book.
Yes.
Because that's the thing about Kickstarter. Kickstarter isn't just someone panhandling for money and a handout. You're asking your crowd, it's called crowdfunding for a reason. You're asking the crowd, like, hey, if you all put in and support me, then I will give back to you with this reward. So I think it's the $40. I don't have it in front of me, but that will give you, in addition to some of the all of the lower tier rewards, you're going to get the book like right hot off the press as soon as it's ready. You're going to be one of the first ones and have it sent directly to you. You don't even have to do anything or go to the store or go back to Amazon or anything. It's just going to come right to you automatically. So the Kickstarter, it's on Kickstarter.com. And I'm sure you'll have a link in the website. But really, right now, between now and May 7th, which is when the campaign ends, all you have to do is in the search there on Kickstarter, just start typing Walt and boom, it's going to pop up because the title of the book is Walt Disney World with Autism, A Special Needs Guide. And I would so greatly appreciate if you would consider to support the book by either pre-ordering or by taking, there's some of the higher levels, but there's also rewards. There's fabulous rewards that come back. Everything from costumes, sensory friendly Disney costumes, to there's bonus books from, I have a friend of mine who also wrote a book and he's going to contribute a bonus book. And I have a adult day center called Center for Independence, and they provide opportunities for adults on the autism spectrum to have supervised, employment opportunities. They're creating a special custom bookmark for the book. And so not only are you supporting the book, not only are you supporting me, Kathy Kelly, you're supporting those people because you're giving them a job. You're giving them work, something to do. You're supporting the gentleman who's donating his book. Every amount that he makes with this book goes into his son's special needs trust. So it's going to be supporting, this particular boy to care for him, once his father and mother are no longer able to. So every single reward associated with the Kickstarter for this book touches in some way people that are on the autism spectrum, and it helps to support and lift them up as well. So you're not just lifting me up by supporting this book, you're also lifting up just ever widening circles of people in the autism / Disney community. So it's Kickstarter.com, Walt Disney World with Autism, A Special Needs Guide. I'm really thrilled we were chosen as a staff pick. So that's a nice little feather in the cap. But if you are also, if it's past May 7th and you're listening to this, please, I encourage you to go to specialmouse.com, where we have the podcast and the blog. There's also a blog. And again, all you have to do is throw in whatever topic you're looking at in the search bar. So if it's autism, or if it's diabetes, or if it's power wheelchair, or if it's fibromyalgia or anything, it will instantly throw all of the blog posts and all of the podcast episodes that have to touch on that subject will be there for your use. And of course, there's the usual Facebook and Twitter, but all of that is over on the website, so I'm not going to go down the list. So it's specialmouse.com.
I will have all these links at howtodream.co for everyone to find. And I really hope that my listeners, my dreamers, go and help support. You do have a long laundry list of rewards.
Reward tiers. Yes, it's completely accessible. Everything from $1 on up. So everybody can participate. It's a completely accessible reward tier.
Yes. And I please go and help make this book a reality before it was May 17th.
No, May 7th.
May 7th.
Even
yes.
sooner. Yeah.
Yes. I'm sleeping on it.
I've got less than 2 weeks to go. So yeah, it's crunch time.
We're going to make this happen. I promise.
I hope so, because I think this book is going to be a real helpful resource for a lot of families. And more will be coming.
Well, I hope so. Well, Kathy, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'd love to have you on again in like a year to follow up and see how you've been.
Thanks, Joe.
Hopefully you'll be a published author and doing awesome things with your community and reaching out beyond your community and into the rest of the autism community.
Thank you for having me. I do appreciate your support, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.